I welcome you in the spirit and love of Jesus Christ as we gather for worship this morning, this beautiful spring morning. And I really hope that that's all the snow we're going to have. I've had enough of that. There's more coming somewhere, that's true. We'd like to greet anybody who's here for the very first time. We have a small gift for you, a bag of popcorn, to thank you for popping in. John Harris is here with us, and we greet you. My brother Raj, glad you're here. Welcome. Where are you coming to us from, John?
Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles. Yes. Welcome, friend. God bless you. Others who are here for the very first time, we want to recognize and greet you as well. Well, Hadi, thanks for popping in. We're glad that you came. Where are you coming from today?
Broomfield.
From Broomfield. Glad you came. Welcome. All right, with that done, then what other announcements would we have to lift up before the congregation with those who are making their way front forward for announcement time? There she is. Welcome.
Good morning, Mountain View. There will be a Mosaic Gospel Choir concert and potluck today at 5 p.m. Wesley students and other community members who make up the Mosaic Choir will be performing a collection of old black spirituals, early gospel, and altered contemporary songs at 5 o'clock today in our sanctuary for the price of a love donation. Afterwards, they will have a potluck dinner. If you wish to partake in the potluck, bring your favorite dish. The choir will be accompanied by drums and electric bass under the direction of Michael Williams. This is always a stellar event. Don't miss it. On April 30th, Church Council approved a summer plan from the worship team to hold one combined worship service at 10 o'clock a.m. from June through August. There will also be a Music Heritage Sunday special combined service and brunch, May 19th, 10:30 a.m. Share the good news. Please join us for a special combined worship service where we will enjoy music from each of Mountain View's ensembles. Before the service, share the good food. At 9 o'clock a.m., we will enjoy a brunch together in Barker Hall. Bring either fruit or breakfast bread. Casseroles will be there, and you should be there too. And now a word from Bill Good.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning. So I am your lay leader, Bill Good, and I have a message to deliver this morning. So on behalf of the church council, I am pleased to share with you an update regarding our church-wide effort to process the decision in February by the General Conference to uphold the traditional plan. This past weekend, the ruling of the Judicial Council was also received. The ruling allows the traditional plan to stand while striking down several of the amendments as unconstitutional. The traditional plan will take effect on January 1st, 2020. This traditional plan leaves in place the traditional language and regulations in the United Methodist Book of Discipline, forbidding the ordination of practicing homosexuals and the consecration of same-sex marriages by United Methodist clergy and in United Methodist churches. It also strengthens the punishments for clergy going against those approved rules. Our church's Western jurisdiction and the conference, the Mountain Sky Conference, has been vocal in its opposition to this traditional plan. Our conference has also called for patience from local churches as formal challenges to that plan are made. Conference leadership has been clear that the view of the conference does not align with progressives or conservatives, but wants to include all people who seek a relationship with Christ, inclusive of views on this topic. It is within this context that your congregational representatives on church council here at Mountain View have been working for the past 18 months to listen, learn, and take action to strengthen Mountain View's congregational connections around inclusivity. The Inclusivity Committee has been focused on inclusion of all views, as well as welcoming of all people to Mountain View. It is recognized that Mountain View members come with both traditional and progressive views. Both views are recognized to have equal value, as they are based on heartfelt beliefs and understandings of the Bible and teachings of Jesus. One area of clear consensus we have found is that the United Methodist Church, and our church in particular, stands true to the motto of open hearts, open minds, and open doors. To that end, in our pastor has crafted a welcome statement that was posted to the website to ensure this message is clear to possible visitors. I'll read this welcome statement now, and you can see it here on the board. All are welcome here. We regard the love of God as essential to our life and ministry. We have been called into being through the life, teachings, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through him, with the Holy Spirit, we live in covenant together to bring about the transformation of the world. We believe that each and every person is loved by God and is of sacred worth. Therefore, no matter who you are, what you have done, where you have been, your gender, your identity, theological perspective, or political philosophy, you are welcome here at Mountain View. Amen. Amen. And that's on our church website for everyone to be welcomed by our church. Church Council developed a bulletin board with the request to post members' hopes in the wake of the decision in February. Recently, the Inclusivity Committee invited a facilitator for an all-church meeting to listen and record all views. In the crafting and integration of an integrated welcome statement, this meeting brought many members together and enabled an open forum on equal footing for the true expression of beliefs in a safe place. This process of integration was unfortunately not completed in one meeting, but will be completed later this summer or fall with a follow-up meeting. The culmination will be an update to this welcome statement and strategies for moving forward in an environment that continues to value all voices. Please watch for the announcement of a date for this follow-up meeting, as this will be a chance for you to participate. Full participation is essential to the process. Please know that you will be welcomed, and your voice will be integrated into the combined welcome statement of the church. I invite you to call me and any member of the church council and ask questions or share your concerns. We will continue to be proactive in our response to member concerns and to ensure that our welcome message meets with the needs of the Mountain View community. Thank you for your support in this process.
Good morning. I am here, you all can guess why. I am here because in just 5 weeks from tomorrow, we start Vacation Bible School. And to get you guys excited, we've got a video to share with some fun music and some fun activities.
Ready to roar! Head out on an African adventure that engages the whole herd. Create a stampede of fun at Sing and Play Roar. Bring the Bible to life in wild Bible adventures. Experience jaw-dropping discoveries at Imagination Station. Run wild with high-energy activities at Stampede Sports. Discover what life is like for five amazing kids who live in Africa at KidVid Cinema. Get ready to let the good times roar!
Excited? It's gonna going to be so much fun. So like I said, it starts 5 weeks from tomorrow on June 10th. Right now we've got over 50 kids signed up, but I have no doubt that we will have right around 120 or so like we have the last few years. They're going to fill this sanctuary with energy and excitement, and I am here to tell you guys that you do not have to be a kid or young or anything to have so much fun at Vacation Bible School. You know, these guys are going to have so much fun too, but you know what? I think I have the most fun of anybody there, I'm just saying. So we need you guys to come and be a part of this program. We need people to teach Bible stories and explore all these Bible truths with these kids who are learning some of these things for the first time. We need people to make art projects and sing songs and do silly dance moves. We need people to provide snack and run outdoor games. We need people just to be around and make sure all of these kids are happy and safe. Most of the kids that come to Vacation Bible School are not from our church. The majority of the kids that come are from outside in the community. And so we are providing them a place at this church where they feel safe, where their parents feel happy leaving them and feel okay leaving them. And we need to just provide them a space where they can have fun and be safe. So I really am hope that all of you will be excited by that video and want to come and join us on our African safari and learn about how life is wild, God is good. There are sign-up seats in the Narthex. Please let me know how you guys can be a part of Vacation Bible School.
Sign, even the sign growls. Oh, how wonderful that is. I'd like to invite you to stand and greet one another and share with each other one thing you've been grateful for this week.
Please join us in our congregational introit, Christ is Alive, verses 1 and 5.
Christ is alive, let Christians sing, his cross stands empty to the sky. Let streets and homes with praises ring, his love in death shall never die. Christ is alive, then comes to bring good news to this and every age. Till earth and all creation ring with joy, with justice, love and praise.
Our spiritual practice today is holding bounty, recognizing bounty in our life, as we'll be talking about the scripture of the disciples pulling in all sorts of fish that they weren't expecting. So today, for our spiritual practice, I want you to just turn to your neighbor and tell them that something that you are surprised that you have bounty of, okay? And really think outside the box. It might be family, it might be sleep, it might be... And if you have bounty of sleep, let me know how that works, okay? It might be opportunities, it might be flowers, it might be a garden that is yet to be made. Think broad and big and tell your neighbor what you find bounty in. Go.
Special time. Blessings.
I see my friend Elizabeth is coming up. Come here, hon. Okay, guys, how are we doing this week? You had a good week? Yeah? Feeling pretty good? We're getting really close into the school year, aren't we? Yeah, we're getting down there. When Pastor Sarah asked us what we all had bounty of, most of the kids said they have too much homework. And I did get one sleep. So hopefully school is coming down to a close here. So you guys, yes, I have some pictures for you guys. What do you see in these two pictures here? You see the sky and some flowers. So do you think in that picture of the sky, you could count all the stars in that picture? Could you count all those flowers in the picture? No, probably can't, right? There's a lot of those. Have any of you ever been camping and been out somewhere where the sky was so clear at night that you could see so many stars? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Can you count those stars on those kinds of nights? Not really. What about this picture? It's a sunflower, right? So you guys have seen real sunflowers. Some of those sunflowers get huge, right? And the brown part in the center is full of what? Seeds. Those are all so many tiny little sunflower seeds. Could you count all those seeds, you think? Have you ever looked at a giant sunflower and tried to count all those seeds? No. Then how about this picture? It's a beach. It is a beach. We've got the water and we've got the sand. And if we looked very closely in the sand, what do we notice about sand? There's a lot of it, and there's lots of little tiny pieces, right? And it makes up a beach this big, right? So big. So these pictures are here to remind us of the word abundance. Do you guys know what the word abundance means? It's a lot. So much you can't count. It's usually saying I have more than I need is when I say that I have an abundance of something. So we have an abundance of stars and flowers and an abundance of grains of sand and an abundance of sunflower seeds in these pictures, right? So Pastor Sarah asked you guys to think about what you have a lot of in your lives, right? And I did. I heard you guys say homework. I heard you guys say sleep. I heard you guys say activities and stuff you could do for fun, right? Can you think of anything else that you have a lot of? How about love? Do you guys feel like you have a lot of love in your life? Yeah? A lot of friends and family in your life. That's right, we have lots of friends and family. And you have lots of love for mom all the time. You guys, we have so much in our lives for that. So we have an abundance of love, an abundance of family and friends, right? How about what helps you at school? Do you guys know things? So you have an abundance of knowledge maybe in your head on certain things? Yeah? How about hugs and kisses? Do you have an abundance of those to share with everybody? Yeah, so we have lots and lots. So today's word is abundance and bounty. And what I want you guys to do, because sometimes it's really easy to remember all the things that we don't have, right? When you look at your friends or other people on TV and you don't have something that they'd have, it's easy to get caught up in that. But I want you guys to instead remember all the things you do have, all the things you have in abundance, all the things that you have that are as great as the number of stars in the sky, or the things that bring all the beauty to your life, like a giant field of flowers, right? Or all the things that you could find in a single seed on a sunflower plant. Think of the beach with all those grains of sand, and every one of those grains of sand means something to you. God gives us a lot, doesn't he? God gives us love, he gives us our families, he gives us our friends, our communities, our world, and everything on it. So remember to thank God for all that he has given you, because you guys are pretty abundant. And he gives us friendship. Can we pray, you guys? Say, hey, God, thanks for bringing us here today. Thanks for giving us so much that we never run out of love or friendship or family or hugs. Help us remember to always be thankful. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us.
Today, and in the attitude of abundance and bounty, I want you to give out of your heart and all that being grateful for what you have and that you might be able to share, even the abundance that you might be able to share, is often more than we can count. So with that in mind, offer yourself back to God. As we offer our gifts back to you of presence and service, gifts and witness, allow them to be a blessing to each other and to you and to the whole world. May those who receive see the abundance that you have to offer and be able to share it forward from themselves. We thank you for all that you offer. Thank you for the gifts that you give to us that we might share, and for the courage to share it. We offer all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Be seated. Will you stand and sing with me?
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I'll be reading John 21, 3 through 14. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw the charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net had not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And thanks to our youth as they lead us in worship on our communion Sundays, the first Sunday of the month, act as ushers and scripture readers. So we thank you very much, and sound operators as well. You know, it's the nature of fish stories that we doubt them as soon as we hear them. We question their truth, their validity, their application. We doubt both the tellers and the tale, and in the end, we laugh at some of the things that fishermen and fisherwomen will tell us as unbelievable. I'm reminded of the story of a young man who on a cold winter's day went down to the shore and found some fishermen there. It hadn't frozen over completely, but it was cold. It was mighty cold. He noticed that there were a number of fishermen on the shore, but only one of them had any number of fish on his stringer, and a goodly number of fish he had. He said, "Hey, mister, what's your secret?" And the man says, "Brr." The boy said, "I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said. What was your secret to catching all these fish?" "Grrr." Boy said, "I'm terribly sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but what is your secret to catching all of these fish?" He says, "Keeping my worms warm." I love that story. It just, you know what it does? It reminds me of my grandfather who would tell us so many stories when we were kids. And now that I'm a grandpa, I just love telling silly stories at every turn and just being grandpa. It's a great privilege. It really is. My grandfather would tell a story about the one that got away, right? Oh, it was such a big one. Oh my goodness, it was such a big fish. And then he'd tell the story about the fish by its own volition that jumped in the boat. It was enormous. And then jumped right out, so we couldn't prove it one way or the other. And then Grandpa would tell us the story about the fish that he caught that was this big. Right? This big. But this is a story about bounty. Big fish story from the Bible. And it's what Peterson would call the ring of truth to it. Maybe it's the details. Maybe it's the picture that it paints. It has a different feel to it than a fish story, even though it's a story about fish. It has this feel of substance and purpose and some remarkable detail, like Jesus cooks the fish that they bring him. That's pretty cool. And it makes us laugh for different reasons than being uncomfortable with the punchline. Like the feel of live worms in your mouth, it's, eek, makes us laugh. But the punchline here is one of bounty. The blessing here is power of purpose and for the joy of the kingdom of God. Today we're confronted with our need to appreciate the bounty of God's presence and God's love in our life. Jesus' entire ministry, in fact, was an encouragement for us to live the kingdom right here, right now. Don't wait any longer, as was the tradition of the Hebrew people, waiting for the Messiah to arrive, but discover justice right here, right now. Discover hearts and desires in our lives right here, right now. We don't need to wait for spiritual food. Jesus is right here, right now. And according to the scripture, he even cooks, man. I mean, what could be better? bread and fish he shares with his disciples on the shoreline. Resurrection and ministry he shares with us, giving physical substance to the spiritual presence of the risen Christ. It is flesh to our gratitude, and it is purpose to our joy. Now, the gospel shares that this was the third time that Jesus was seen after he was raised from the dead, and that has significance. Three has a significance because, you see, by the third time, they're just going to be glad to see him, right? They're going to easily recognize him, right? The shock will have worn off, right? Well, not so much. The three is important because, according to Jewish law, after three times an account is shared, it has the same weight as a legal witness. And so if you're going to make a contract, before they had paper, and when paper was readily available, they had papyrus, of course, but that was just for the elites, then you would make a verbal contract and seal it by saying the thing three times, right? I will bring a load of fertilizer to your garden at 10 o'clock in the morning. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll bring a load of fertilizer to your garden tomorrow. Tomorrow, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll bring a load of fertilizer to your garden. That's a contract, right? And I hope you don't take me seriously. I don't have that much fertilizer to share. How about I just share it all right now? Agreeing three times makes a contract. Rejecting something three times breaks a contract. And therefore, in the law of the day, Jesus' post-resurrection appearances are testified to with authority as he is risen from the dead. And this is the third story. He is risen from the dead and has the full weight of a testimony. Likewise, a little later in the same passage, you'll see Peter saying to Jesus, "Lord, you know that I love you." Three times. And it is a way to reverse what Peter had said about Jesus the night before, during his crucifixion. He denied him three times, right? Before the cock crows, that story says. So he becomes restored by contractual agreement. I love you, I love you, I love you. Love Jesus. But it's so easy to get caught up into the numbers. It's so easy to get caught up in our own interpretations of things. It's so easy for us to miss the point while pointing out all the specifics that seem so powerful to us that we hardly know what to do with them. In fact, the number 153. Now that's remarkable, 153 fish. Not 152, not 154, 153. And through the ages, different theologians have said what they meant. 153. In the 4th century, Cyril of Alexandria said that 100 represents the fullness of the Gentiles. The 50 symbolizes the remnant of Israel. And the 3, of course, represents the Trinity, right? St. Augustine's theory in the 5th century was a little more complicated than that. He said that there are 10 commandments, and 7 is the perfect number of grace. That's right, 17. Now, if you add all the numbers from 1 until 17 together, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5, all the way up to 17, you guessed it, it counts up to 153. If you take 17 fish and you put them in a line, then you take 16 fish and you put them in a line. If you take 15 fish and you put them in a line, all the way down to 1, it makes the shape of a triangle, which represents what? Isn't that fascinating? Now, I have a different theory about why there's 153 fish in this story. I believe it's because there were 153 fish in the net. We often can miss the point. In today's story, the point is God's bounty. They recognize Jesus in his bounty. They celebrate together with him in the bounty. The net was full of fish with such great bounty, but it didn't break the net. We can get caught up in our words and wanderings, our fears, our powers and principalities, and miss the point that God loves all people equally. We can get caught up in politics and positioning and miss that Christ expects us to love our neighbor, no matter how weird they might be, or their pastors, no matter how different they might see the world. We can lose our perspective on spiritual matters and miss that God's presence is most often discovered in the things that we cannot control. God's bounty. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel uncertain, when we feel stressed but don't know what the future brings, the kingdom of God, even for the likes of us. A man dies and goes to heaven. Sure enough, St. Peter is there, and he says, hello. And the man says, hello. Peter says, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you some questions about what you did in your life, and for each thing that you did, you get points. When you get to 100 points, you get to go into heaven, right? That's a perfectly good story. And the man says, okay, well, let's try it out. I was married to the same woman for 50 years, and I never once was unfaithful to her, not even in my heart. And St. Peter says, well, that's pretty great, man. That's 3 points. 3 points. Oh, okay. I attended church every Sunday. I supported the ministry with my prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. I did all of that to the best of my ability. And St. Peter says, terrific. That's 2 points. 2 points. A life, 2 points. And he says, well, I volunteered down at the soup kitchen and I fed some homeless veterans and cared about them for a great deal of time. I really got to know them in relationship. And St. Peter says, oh, again, 2 points. 2 points. Well, at this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is if God lets me in with grace. And the man, Peter says, yep, that's it. You're in. 100 points right there. The only way I'm going to get into heaven is relying on the bounty of God's grace. How we can forget that. How we can forget how much we rely on God's providence. And what a spectacle it is when we resist God with our expectations, our demands, our requirements. When God would intend to gather every living soul, no matter what their circumstance, no matter what their fears, or the uncertainty of life, into his glorious and righteous kingdom. The future is assured by this bounty. Now, if you haven't been told this before, as Americans, as people living in Boulder, as folks surrounded by wealth, the rest of the world can look at us and go, holy moly, don't they understand how blessed they are? If you've ever been in the third world, if you've ever read about people who are less gifted with physical things, you can know that they still have faith because it doesn't depend on what you have. However, the key to appreciating life is gratitude. The antidote for the world's negativity and cynicism I have discovered is gratitude for the bounty that God has provided, not just material things, we're familiar with that, but the bounty of love, the bounty of adventures, the bounty of hope. Each of these things requires something from us. Each of these things requires something of our faith. And if it's left on the shelf, if we forget about faith, if we forget about God's bounty, if we forget about gratitude, we can feel stuck. In a life surrounded with bounty, if we can't see it, if we can't appreciate it, we can feel stuck. Not so long ago, I read an article about California pelicans who had a remarkable discovery on their hands. You know, pity the poor pelican, his mouth can hold more than his belly can, right? Well, these pelicans, they feed on fish. And the fishermen went out and they went back with a big catch of fish and they began to head the fish and gut the fish and throw the remains in the ocean at the pier. Pelicans caught onto this and they just said, man, this is a feast. I'm into it. And they began to only count on that regular shipment of fish to their port. In fact, they wouldn't fly very far, although the pelicans can fly very far, and they wouldn't fish very much because this was too easy it was. So for weeks, they just stayed by the harbor and waited for the fishing boats to come in. I don't know. What does a pelican sound like? They just waited. And after a while, the fishermen found that they could sell the fish waste and make some extra money for the fleet. And so they stopped throwing that stuff into the water. And the pelicans got thinner and thinner and thinner. They were caught unprepared for the change. And they seemed to not know what to do with their situation. Well, after a couple of weeks, those pelicans were mighty thin, and so they called in some wildlife officials to check out what was going on and concluded that the pelicans had simply forgotten how to fish. So what they did were they brought pelicans in from other areas to join the flock and teach those starving birds how to fish once again. And one assumes that they figured it out from there. Now, I know that you and I know how to eat. I've seen us at the all-church gatherings downstairs. And I know we know how to make the most of our opportunities. I witnessed it when Mountain View pulled together in the wake of the great flood. As our leaders have worked to develop and process information on our inclusivity as a congregation and a church. What I don't know is if you and I have forgotten how to invite people into fellowship, to share with them the joy we have in Jesus, the bounty we have in God. Have we overlooked the bounty of God? Have we lost our ability to be grateful? Have we become so comfortable with ourselves and complacent about our faith that we no longer can share it? And then perhaps it's time, my friends, for a new approach. Jesus calls out to his disciples, and it must have been a loud voice because sound does carry on water, but it's 100 yards away. And he asks them to throw down your nets, lay down your nets on the other side of the boat, which might be 6 to 12 feet. That's all. Not very far. Here they've been fishing all night. They haven't caught a thing. So they pick up their nets in obedience to Jesus, and they drop them. At his request from 100 yards away, "Hey, guys, you're missing the boat. Put the net down on the other side." And they do it. And then there are so many fish, they can barely haul them in. Today, and every day, every week in Boulder, we have new people moving here. And they might not know about the bounty of God. They might not know about our gratitude to Christ. They might need to hear what gives you joy, what causes gratitude in your life. And it may mean you calling out to yourself, "Hey, self, throw the net on the other side. Take a risk, a chance. Be able to tell somebody how much you love God and how much God has meant to you." Gratitude at the bounty that God has shown us. Let's not get caught up in all the details and miss the point. Gratitude for the bounty. And finally, you'll notice that Peter, who was naked, apparently, there is a civil rule that 100 yards is far enough that a guy can be naked on a boat and it's not, you know, disgusting or anything like that, right? He puts his clothes on and he jumps in. Peter, recognizing it's Christ, jumps right in. The courage it takes to be a disciple is something we look for in our life, and the desire to be a part of an authentic fish story. It causes us to laugh, not at the discomfort of the punchline, but at the bounty, the surprising grace, the delicious gratitude. And we share it together in a sacred meal with Jesus on the shore. Amen. Invites all who love him and earnestly repent of their sin to seek to live in peace with one another. So let us offer our confessions together in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died while we were still sinners. And this proves that God's love is for us. It's for all of us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. The Lord be with you. We lift up our hearts. Let us pray together. Wondrous God, dust could not praise you, so you gathered it up, using it to shape us in your image, that we might enjoy the gifts found in heaven and on earth, under the earth and in the sea. Yet being mortal, we fell into traps dug by death to capture us. We became distracted from the joy you proposed and purposed for us at creation. You sent the prophets to us who through their words and actions reminded us that we have been shaped to be as upright as mountains and as generous as desert springs. But we continue to allow sin to make mountains unto molehills, to be parched as any desert. Dismayed, Lord, you could have hidden your face, but instead you sent us your heart. The risen Christ appears to us and his disciples unexpectedly and uninvited, and he bursts their bubbles and reverses our expectations in the empty tomb, the upper room, and by the fire, by the Sea of Galilee. And so with those nets are empty of hope, with those whose nets are empty of hope, and with those whose lives overflow with grace, and with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name today and join their unending hymn singing.
Our shadowed lives. Blessed is Jesus Christ, who feeds us in the midst of life. When we cried, you came and wiped away our tears. When we were speechless, he taught us the songs of praise. When we dressed in sackcloth and ashes, Jesus gave us garments of grace. On our behalf, Jesus went to the cross, filling death's nets with his spirit, so its power over us might be emptied forever. As we come to this Lamb's feast this day, we sing of that mystery we call faith and remember.
He took bread, he gave thanks, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup of blessing and he gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy manifest and lively sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Consecrate us to your service, even as these elements are consecrated to you. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. This is an encouragement of hope through the Holy Spirit, that we may see Christ manifest in the world in the power of his presence. For all honor and glory is yours today, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The United Methodist Church is open to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ and seeks to live in harmony with their neighbor. And so we invite all of you to come at your usher's instruction. We will have a prayer partner for you in the front of the church. If you'd like to stop after communion to have special private prayer with somebody of trust and be able to share your heart with God, please come at your convenience at the usher's instruction. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ in this cup. And so in gratitude for the bounty of the Lord, we, God's people, resolve to dive right in, to cast our nets, to obey the Lord, to feel our hearts brimming with generosity at the gifts we have been given. Amen. 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 So, and a little practical exercise, if you're willing, three times with me. Lord, you know I love you. 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 Amen.